deliverance model developed by Pablo Pittari, who's out of Argentina, the Argentinian Revival. And he was a supervisor of the deliverance tent for Carlos and Acandia during the Crusades down there. And this, like, they had such a massive amount of people who really need true deliverance from demonic manifestations that he developed this way to train people pretty quickly to be able to recognize it and to deal with it as like without a lot of other stuff going on, just to get to the heart of the thing so we could deal with it. If we could, that guy. So, what is deliverance? Deliverance is setting a person free from a demonic spirit. We use the term oppression in this rather than possession. Because possession implies ownership and complete control, and they don't actually have complete control. That's like you wouldn't be able to exercise authority if they did have ownership over people. So your authority in you is what gives you the ability to release people from what we call demonic oppression. Do we have the slides? Okay, you're good. What is deliverance? Okay, deliverance is freedom from demonic oppression. Okay, the next one. So here's how they would try to recognize. There are some signs that are actually like completely overt. When we were in Brazil, we saw a lot more of that. At one point, I was praying for someone, and I began to feel this weird. It almost felt like grease when grease pops on you. I felt it on my foot, and I was like, "That's really strange. Like, I don't know like why I'm feeling that." And I looked down, and there's a lady who's actually like on the floor, hissing. And her face is, like, right by my foot. Yeah, no, seriously. And she was, like, she was wiggling around kind of like a snake. Like, that's very obviously demonic oppression. I couldn't deal with her at the moment because I had, like, 10 people that I was praying for. And that's just, like, when it's really good to, like, keep your eyes open when you're praying is when you're in Brazil and there are people who want to be snakes. There are people who are hissing, yes. And also because there's so many people there, like you'll get bumped. If people start manifesting in Brazil, they literally hop up and down really fast. And you like this is the only time we were told we were allowed to drop people to the floor on purpose was because they literally kangaroo bounce all over the room and they step on people. So we would have to flip them onto the floor because they were just out of control. Yeah, like I was like I felt like this like I sometimes call it like bad fire, like you know you can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. I felt some like weird. Like popping like grease fire on my foot and I was like and I knew it was bad like it felt really wrong like and so I looked down and then there was this lady's face right there. I was like yeah and I was like and I'm praying for someone and there's a translator translating for me for this person and so I couldn't deal with her and yeah I did. And then two people ran up and literally picked her up and carried her out of the room. So because a lot of times they'll remove them from the room to better deal with them so they're not, because people are like, what's happening? I'm so freaked out. Like, and they'll gather around. They can't receive, and then that person also is kind of being humiliated in front of a large number of people. Okay, so other things we can look for that are not as obvious would be like nightmares, unreasonable fears, general accusations, people who are really like accusatory, who are really like, easily offended, like to the point that it's almost volatile. People who suffer from severe amounts of shame, because that's like the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And I know they teach this in Zozo, like kill, steal, and destroy. So if it looks like killing, it looks like stealing, it looks like destroying, there's probably some manipulation from the enemy behind it. That doesn't necessarily mean it's direct oppression, but it could be. Pain, again, like with an afflicting spirit, pain that moves around, that doesn't go away, that can't be healed by medication, and it should be able to be healed by medication sometimes is demonic. Pain that gets worse when you pray for it. I actually had a girl that, when I was in college, I was a dorm director, and they brought me this girl, because it was a cessationist college, and I got all the weird things brought to me. And this girl was like, when she was in the room, just in the room with people praying, she would start to, like, she'd have to lay on the floor because she would feel pain, like it would just shoot through her body, and she wanted to scream. And so they brought her to me. I was like, why do you want to bring her to me? But I did help her, and the other option was that she go to the psychiatrist. So, and we prayed for her, and we had really just, she was a Christian, and we equipped her in, like, the authority of Christ, and she never had a problem after that day. So, illness, like chronic illnesses that, again, can't be treated by medication, or like that just, there's not a cause, there's not a solution, sometimes can be demonic in nature as well. I've even been, like, myself, like, I've gone into places and all of a sudden I've gotten very, very sick for no reason. I'm like, okay, this is not me. Like, I don't know what this is, but I left the building and I was fine, but I realized that there was probably something really spiritual going on in that place. Depression can also be irrational behavior, and there's a lot of other, like, things that, like, kind of, whatever the opposite of the fruits of the Spirit, if they're too extreme, could be, you could look for root causes in the demonic. So next slide. Deliverance was central to Jesus' ministry. When he commissioned people to go out, he would say, cast out demons, heal the sick. These are both from Mark. It says, then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. And even talks about other people who weren't even Christians trying to do it. So that was very, very, like, prevalent in their society that they knew, not that it was everywhere, but that they knew that this was real. They knew it existed. And as Jesus' followers, this is the next slide, we're also expected to do this. Anything in the Great Commission really is, we're all called to do it. And as you go preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, freely you have received, freely give. When you got saved, you were delivered from any possibility, like, that you were entered into the authority of Christ, and you were freed from a lot of things. Sometimes you don't even know, because I know a lot of people think that, at least I've heard this, that when demons leave, they leave loudly, but I've never, like, encountered that myself. I mean, I've seen it, but, like, a lot of the people that I've known who actually had strong demonic manifestations, like, when I prayed for them and when we talked and we counseled with them, when they finally were delivered, there wasn't a big show because we didn't allow that to occur. Sometimes it does happen, but not always. It doesn't have to be. Sometimes you just encounter the truth of God and you're free, and whatever was on you leaves. I had a friend who even, she, like, was under a severe depression, and she was under, like, and she didn't know why. Like, she just, like, I'm struggling with something. I feel like it's demonic. And I told her, like, I feel like you actually need to get baptized. I don't know how you feel about that. And she's like, well, I don't really want to do that. But she got baptized, and when she came out of the water, she didn't have depression anymore. So in Luke 10, it says, speaking of the 70, then 70 returned with a joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And I think that's where it goes on to say, and God tells them not to rejoice that they are subject to him, but that their names are written in the book of life. And we really want to, I think this comes up in a few seconds, so I'll wait. Okay, the next one. So when you're, this is about equipping you to actually encounter people. And this is really kind of the scary part, but once you're really equipped, you will eventually encounter someone. That's kind of how it works. Like, once you start learning about the prophetic, you will get prophesied over and you will be able to prophesy. When you start learning about, like, how to live in freedom, how to minister in freedom, how to minister deliverance, it's going to come up, and because God's going to draw people to you because you now have the knowledge and the skills to be able to do it. So your personal preparation, you don't want to bring open doors with you. Like, if you have an open door or a stronghold in your life, or there's something you're struggling with, it's really difficult for you to minister to someone who has those things as well, because you're risking, one, not being able to really do it, and not having authority over it because you don't have authority over it in your own life. So you really want to check yourself and know, okay, am I good with God? Have I been praying? Have I been, if I've been struggling with anything? And if you have been, then I would suggest, like, talking to someone in your church, your pastors, or I don't know, whoever you're supposed to talk to, and making sure you're good before you ever engage, trying to cast out anything before then. That's what I would say. All right, next. Yeah, and when commencing ministry, ask for help of the Holy Spirit. That's kind of, that should be obvious, but we always want to remind you that you can't do any of this apart from your communion and your personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. That's really what empowers you to do it. And God, and just trust God. God will show you if you shouldn't be doing it, if you should, or if there's something you need to deal with beforehand. Just ask him, and he will show you. Like, I really trust that about God. Next slide. Okay, so now we're going to talk about the actual 10-step prayer model. I know 10 steps is a lot, but once you really get it down, it's not like even with the 5-step prayer model, it's really more like a 1-step prayer model that we broke down into 5 steps. And the same thing with deliverance. Once you really like learn it, it's really obvious. Like, give the individual priority. That's not even really a step. That's something you should always do. And so we want to put the individual first. We want to focus on, again, your motivation should be love. If your motivation is to exert your authority over the demonic, then you're not loving the individual, okay? You want to, if you don't have compassion for the person, if your goal is not to cast this out, to set them free so that they can live a better life and they can encounter God, then I would seriously question whether or not you should do it, because the individual is the whole point of you being there. So, and again, like, you want to make sure, like, sometimes when you minister with people who have demonic oppression, they're not always fully aware, but they could be. So you want to just make sure that they understand what's happening. If they're cognizant, you want to make sure they understand what's happening and talk to them and talk them through what's going on. And don't go in like a bull in a china shop. Like, don't go in guns blazing. Go in humility and in love, like really seeking to, for the person to encounter Jesus, not for the demon just to leave, but for the person to encounter the heart of the Father. All right, next. 10-step prayer model. If a spirit is manifesting, or if manifestation during your ministry, or if one manifests, make the spirit be quiet and submit to you in the name of Jesus. And this is what I was talking about. Like, sometimes, like, people think it has to be really showy, but the more you grow in authority, the less this is probably going to happen. The less something will actually manifest. And that's another reason why we want to keep our eyes open, because sometimes, like, I see, when I pray with people, I've seen, like, their eyes change. I've even seen people's eyes go completely black. And I'm not in the natural, but I can see it in, like, the spiritual. And so that's why, like, if I had my eyes closed, I couldn't see that, and I couldn't be able to pray or control, like, what, if a spirit was trying to manifest, I couldn't exert authority over it if I wasn't aware. So we also want to make sure when we pray, even in deliverance, we keep our eyes open. Especially when you're, but even when you're praying for healing, if they have an afflicting spirit and you don't know, and all of a sudden, like, I've seen people's face turn, like, beet red, because they're, like, they're actually manifesting something, like, demonic. If you have your eyes closed, you wouldn't see that, to be able to say, hey, what's going on? What's happening in your body? And sometimes, again, like, even in deliverance and healing, if you don't ask, some people won't think to tell you. So always ask, like, so what's going on? What are you experiencing? Next slide. Establish and maintain communication with the prayer. So Amber and I were in North Carolina last year, and we were praying. We were at someone else's conference. We just kind of got out of town for a while, and we were going to pray for this lady. It was for healing, but I went up to her, and, like, her fists were clenched, and it looked like she was praying, but it wasn't. You couldn't, like, the people were calling her name. Her friends were calling her name, and, she wouldn't open her eyes. She wouldn't break out of what she was doing. So I was like, hey, God, what do you want me to do? And I went around, and I got right in front of her, and I didn't really pray or anything. I just said, like, I don't know what her name was. We'll call her Kathy. I was just like, Kathy. And she immediately just stopped and opened her eyes. But I knew that I knew what I was doing. I was taking authority over the manifestation that was happening. And immediately she stopped and she relaxed and she looked at me. And I said, Kathy, we're going to pray for you. And I made sure the whole time to keep communication with her, make sure she kept looking at me, make sure we were, like, talking. And in this case, too, it was a healing thing, but it actually turned out to be a need for, like, deliverance. And she was, like, severely, it was infirmity all over her body. She could barely walk. She couldn't lift her arms, like, above here. Couldn't hold her grandkids. And we prayed for her. And actually, we didn't really pray for very long. Prayed for her arms. Her arms got healed. And I was like, you know what? You've been completely set free. Just go take a walk. She went and took a walk, and then she started running around the building because she was, like, totally freaked out. And she was healed. She was excited. So we want to maintain, we're going to establish communication from the beginning. You're going to make sure you have them. You want to make sure they're looking at you. And you want to maintain communication through that entire time. Next one. Ask the prayer whether he wants to be free from and try to make sure he actually wants to be free. Sometimes people have issues that they like to have because it's part of their identity. And when you really like get down to it and start asking them, like, okay, well, let me pray for you. They'll be like, but this. And they try to keep you in the issue and not in the solution. And so you really want to make sure that someone wants to be free. An example of this would be a group of GSSM students got stopped by a girl. And there were 10 of us, and there was one of her. And she, like, I was off to the side, and she was able to hold this group captive for, like, 30 minutes trying to pray for them. And finally, I was like, okay, I'm done. Like, and I walk around and get in front of her, and I say, what is your issue? Like, not aggressively, but, like, what's going on? And I was like, okay, here's your solution. Do you want this? And she said, but I can't have this. And I'm like, no. Do you want to be free or do you not? Because I can pray for you now, but if you don't really think it's possible or you don't really want it, then there's no point. And maybe like it would be better if you talk to one of your pastors later because the building's closing and we need to leave. And she was like, no, you're right. I really don't want to be free. And she actually like fessed up, which I was surprised. But like, so we left and the problem was everyone else, like not everyone else, but several of the other students, they just wanted her to be free more than she wanted to be free. So there wasn't really anything that could be possible because you can't want someone's healing more than they do. You can't want someone's freedom more than they do. It's just not, there's no benefit to that. They have to want it. And also there's always, I don't know if it says that in here, there's always a risk. If you cast out demons out of people or evil spirits out of people who don't really want to be free, they will invite them back in because they've maintained that as part of their identity. They'll invite them back in and the demons will come back stronger because they don't want to be kicked out again. So we want to be careful about doing that as well. Next. Make sure the prayee has accepted Jesus. Right, so if you really know they want to be free, again, you have to, so if they really do want to be free, then you need to know that they're saved because if you, again, you deliver someone who isn't a Christian, they have nothing in them filling them to keep, that. Like, Jesus is what keeps you walking in righteousness. It's what keeps you in holiness. He keeps you walking free. He keeps you able to resist temptation. So without that, you're just very vulnerable. And so we want to make sure that's true. And if they're not, ask them if they want to be saved because that's the answer to their problem. That's the solution. You want to be free from this? Well, here, Jesus is your answer. Next step. In everything you pray, you discover events or relationship situations that have led to the bondage or bondage. Just like in the healing, you can say, like, when did this start? Were there any events at that time? Like, has this been your whole life? Find out what, you don't want to kill bad fruit. You want to kill the tree that's causing it, you know? You want to just get rid of the root problems or whatever. You want to go for the base. You want to go for all the little stuff, like, sometimes even they'll try to overwhelm you with, like, the details. That's not as much of a problem as, like, how do we, like, keep this from growing anymore in your life? So some of it could be, like, if they've been involved in witchcraft. Well, if they're seeing demons and seeing all these things, that's not the problem. The problem is that they were involved in witchcraft. And so we want to go through and repent and close those doors, which is the next slide. Through closing the doors, that's loud. So like, you know, immorality, sexual immorality, there's different things that can open doors into people's lives that can cause, and again, that's the same as if you looked at the tree from the beginning, it says, you know, pride, complaining, unforgiveness, witchcraft, fear, immorality, bitterness, rejection, unforgiveness is a big one. So you want to look for the root cause, like when did this start? What was the problem? Like what was going on? And then you want to go through, like, either repentance or forgiveness and start closing those doors and asking, like, God to come and stand in front of them, really. And so we start closing the doors. And the next step, as we close the doors, we kick out. So you open the door, you kick out the demon, you shut the door. Cast out the demons or the unclean spirits in the name of Jesus. If someone really wants to be free, this is... It really is not complicated. It doesn't have to be long and drawn out. It's something you just have them pray over themselves too, and you can, if they give you permission, you can pray for them as well. So And then you keep asking them, like, what are you feeling? Are you, and because sometimes they'll feel manifestations in their body, so you want to be conscious of that as well and ask them what they're feeling, what they're sensing, and keep kind of re-interviewing like you do in the five-step prayer model. Next. So ask the prayee to praise and thank Jesus for his deliverance. Again, this all goes back to you're bringing people into a relationship with their Father. You're bringing people into a relationship with God. So you want to make sure all like you focus. Like, freedom is from God, so we're thanking him for that. And we want to turn the focus and really connect people with the heart of the Father through the process. Next step. And then at the end, like once they really feel free and they, you know they're saved and you thank God, you want to make sure that they're filled up with the Spirit that way. All the places where they've had trauma or they've had those things affecting their life will now be filled with the Spirit of God. And I even like I like to coach people into what to expect, like what you've traded in. Like, you know, if you've had a lot of bitterness, that you're going to have joy, that you're going to have peace, that you're going to be able to walk in the fruits of the Spirit now that you're filled with the Spirit. So I think, is there another slide? Nope. That's it. So this is for your equipping of how to deal with this, like when it comes up against you. And I gave, did you give those out? So there's a declarations page that I gave you. And this is really like for you, like to declare over yourself and realize that you have the authority to do these things. And this is who you are in Christ. You are, now that you're saved, this is what you walk in. So I'm just going to pray over you guys real fast. So God, I thank you for the ministry of deliverance in the church. I thank you that each person here is called to be your disciple, and they've been equipped already when the moment they got saved to be able to walk in deliverance, that we've been equipped to walk in healing and prophecy and words of knowledge, that they've been given everything they need to walk out the Great Commission and to go into all the world. So we just thank you for them, and we ask that you would come and fill them with your Spirit even now, that they would be able to minister and to bring people into the kingdom, to connect people with their Father, and to bring the lost sheep home. We just bless each one of them in their day and what they're doing, and we just pray that they have an amazing lunch, and then we just ask for divine encounters as they go out. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.